Right now, we got a call in from a very important gentleman, one of my one of the best friends of jazz and best my a good buddy of mine. He is here with his most popular segment, I believe, on this Tuesday and on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. You're all waiting for him with bated breath as I am. He is with a very special guest, someone that I've followed over the years, and you've heard him on many, many recordings here on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. It is the Live with the Jazz Cat segment, and we have Leroy the Jazz Cat Downs on the line right now. Leroy, are you there?
I'm right here, Gary. How you doing?
Oh, that's great. Listen, I'll let you make the proper introductions, and I'm so pleased that you were able to get this interview with this gentleman today.
Oh, this is one of my main guys, man. This is my man, Mr. Reuben Rogen, bass player extraordinaire. What's going on, Reuben?
Right. Leroy in the house. All right now.
You know, they say it's hotter than July. That's what Stevie said, but it's about 108 in New York City,
man,
right now.
It's pretty crazy here in New York. It's pretty crazy. Just about hit. I looked in my car and looked at the monitor there. It was 108. I couldn't believe it. You know, saw people dropping on the street, so definitely crazy.
You know, people drop when you're on stage playing that bass, too, man.
Watch that.
You're a real lyrical cat, man. You got lots of beauty with the way you play.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
You know, I had the opportunity to watch you perform in a multitude of combinations with Diane Reeves' band, Joshua Redman's trio, Charles Lloyd, and a few others as well. Mm-hmm. And what I always notice is that you bring such healing rhythms to the music.
Ah, healing rhythms, that's always good. That's okay, all right. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, we spent some good time together mm-hmm. playing hoop and hanging out off stage, and, you know, you're just a happy spirit to be around, man.
Definitely you want to try and bring that to the music. I mean, that's you know, especially, you know, well, most musicians, that's our passion a lot of the times, and you know, you want to bring that, you know, to the people who are listening. You know, you want to bring that love and that joy. You know, even if you had a bad day, you want to try and give that, you know, piece of you or you know, that piece, you bless them with something, you know, so that they can leave feeling better than they did before they came to the concert, usually, you know. And, you know, hey, that's life. It's life is good to to play, do something that you're passionate about. And so, you know, you got to take that off the bandstand, too, that feeling, you know?
Absolutely, man. You have a humble, peaceful, fun charisma, and that same vibe always emanates through your music. And, the music, the musicians, and everyone can't help but smile when they're hanging around Rube.
All right, now, thank you. Oh, I appreciate that, man. That's a high compliment.
Well, you know it's true, man.
Yeah, no. Okay, if you say so, all right.
Yes, all right. You're listening to KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. My esteemed guest today on the segment Live with the Jazz Cat, Mr. Reuben Rogers. Right. You know, my parents didn't listen to any jazz when I was growing up. I had to find it. I had to find a journey on my own. What was your musical journey like?
Well, that's interesting. Man, did we talk about this?
Because no.
That sounds exactly... Basically, that was my whole thing, too. I grew up in the church for the most part, and, you know, my parents are still heavily in the church, retired, but still heavily in the church. And so most of what I heard around the house was gospel music, which is still in me, of course, which is, you know, which would be my beginnings, I would like to say, a lot of times.
Right.
I didn't hear it around the house at all, actually. And, you know, even if I go as many recordings that I've played on in the past 12 years, you go to my parents' house, they still don't have jazz on it, unless it's my CD, you
right.
know. But, you know, I was turned on to the music pretty much by a workshop. You know, I was in, you know, I'm from the Virgin Islands, from the St. Thomas Virgin Islands, and not much jazz down there. You know, actually, you know, the fine saxophonist, Mr. Ron Blake, who actually co-produced the record with me, he had came down, he's, you know, quite some years older than me, and he had came down with another friend of mine's, Mr. Dion Parson, to do some workshops. Make a long story short, they came down and blew me away as a kid in the eighth grade. You know,
wow.
And I was like, you know, I was a talented, fast learner at the time. You know, I was playing a lot of different instruments, and I just kind of settled down on electric bass for the most part. And I heard this music that they were playing, and it just pulled me. You know, it was unbelievable experience for me. I can't even explain it. But I was hungry. I was hungry once I heard it live. You know, them playing it, and I just went out to the record store. You know, and at the time, that was right the transition when tapes were going out and CDs were coming in.
Okay. All right. We all got a pretty much of a lock on that.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, it was, I mean, the tapes were a lot cheaper. So was available. A lot of things were available to me. And, you know, the stuff, you know, that was available to me wasn't as much as it would have been on the mainland. But what was there was Jaco Pastorius, was Miles Davis, was Thelonious Monk. It was Return to Forever. It was, you know, it was like, and I just gobbled it up as much as I could, you know. Aside from, you know, listening to all the other music that I was growing up with, I mean, I was getting teased for the most part that I was so into this jazz music, you know, from my friends who were listening to, you know, reggae and calypso and Latin music, all this other music that was, you know, homegrown, you know, and I played in those bands and I still listen to that music, but somehow this other music just compelled me and I had to, you know, search it out, you know what I'm saying, learn it as much as
possible. We're certainly glad it did. You know. You're listening to Mr. Reuben Rogers on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat. Well, as you mentioned, you and Ron are both from St. Thomas, and I had asked him this question before, and I'll ask you. Mm. Are there any musical advantages you think that exist by growing up in St. Thomas as opposed to here in the States?
Musical advantages, I say, you know, it was, it just gives you a different outlook on other music and just the storytelling a lot in a lot of the music. The music that was on the radio a lot, aside from the Caribbean music, was pop music, whatever, you know, and, you know, I was growing up and that's how it is now.
Right.
Some, you know, and you know, I don't like to compare it like, oh, today, you know, it's all about, you know, getting a woman or saying I love you and this and that. It was a lot more, it seemed like it was a lot more story. I mean, I had a lot of that growing up too, but it seems like it always, you know, in the calypso songs and the reggae songs growing up, it was like a lot of conscious messages about everyday life, about what was going on in the community. You know, we had a lot of fabulous calypso bands that were always compete, you know, for what we call road marches, and you know, it was just a real happy kind of experience to see this music and hear this music and experience it, you know. As far as an advantage, I like to say is that I think a lot of the rhythms from the Caribbean, from the zouk music to, as I said, the one drop, you know, reggae music, the ska music, to you know, there's a whole lot, you know, from this, you know, steel bands that I experienced growing up. All this stuff was all in me already. I kind of grew up hearing it and experiencing it and playing it. And I definitely would say, you know, it, especially coming from reggae music, the foundation of the music a lot of times is a bunch of bass.
Right.
You know, and then laying it down to make sure, and making sure that is the foundation, and you want to make the people feel that. You want to make people feel that. You know, whether you turn it up, but you can turn it up, you're going to feel it anyway. But it's about making them feel it from the notes and from the rhythms that you play. You know what I'm saying? I think I probably took that into the jazz music also.
I think that you did.
You know?
I think that you did.
Definitely. I mean, I feel that. I mean, I always have this vision when I tell people, when I tell some students that I teach, I say, you want to try and engulf the music. You want to engulf the whole band. And sit them on top of your shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, that's my approach in playing, you know. And then when it's time for you to step out front and do your thing, you do your thing. But my aim and desire first is to make everyone else sound much better than they can from the bass chair.
Well, you know, you really do that, man. And you support everyone so well. I mean, you play with so many people. Everybody you play with gives you props. Like Diane says, you keep her inspired and... Mm. Charles Lloyd talks about your humanity. Mm. You know, when you approach all these different vibes from all of these different musical situations, are there any major adjustments that you have to make, or is there some primary focus that really locks you into the music?
Usually, you know what? No, not really. Not for me. My mindset is usually, you know, set on, you know, doing the job at hand is to, as I said, to make everyone feel good and make the music feel as good as possible from my chair. I mean, of course, from situation to situation, you go from a Diane Reeves situation where it's a voice, a very strong voice out front. I say with that, you have to make any vocalist feel or get your trust. You have to get your trust from them, you know, or you make them trust you. And I think, how can I put this? Instrumentalists, it's like that also. I think a vocalist wants to feel, okay, that you got their back, you know.
Right.
You make them, when you make them feel that way, the sky's the limit, especially a legendary singer like Diane Reeves.
You know? Oh, yeah.
You know, the Charles, you know, his thing is very spiritual, and it comes from the heart, from the soul. And, I mean, I remember one of the last tours we did with Jerry Allen and Eric Harlan. I mean, it was such on a high every night. It was like the music was very spiritual, but it's like we were just one voice together, the things that we did on the stage. Every night we did like a month in Europe, I think, that we went to Japan or whatever. It's definitely one of those tours where it was like when everyone was going home, we were glad to go home to maybe our families and our friends or whatever, our own environment, but sad to leave the music on such a high because it was just like it was going, and we just kind of left it there.
Man, well, you actually sent everyone else home with that same vibe.
Well, I hope so, definitely, because I remember our last stop in Japan. It was like, you know, the people were like, you know, I had some people crying in the audience. It was that powerful.
Wow.
You know? That's the power of this music, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
You're listening to Reuben Rogers. The show is called Live with the Jazz Cat right here on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, you certainly have that power, my friend. And The Things I Am, this is the brand new disc you recording.
Mm-hmm,
have you had these tunes in a drawer for a while that you want to finally put on an album, or is this accumulation of life experience?
I say yes and no. Maybe one or two of them I've had in my back pocket for a little while. You know, I've been meaning to do a record for quite some years. And I had so many people in my ear, like, yo, man, you know, when we going to hear you? When we going to hear you? When we going to hear Reuben Rogers? Da-da-da-da.
Right.
And, you know, basically from procrastination and, like, a very tight schedule doing everybody else's stuff, I just didn't have the time, you know. And, you know, I was supposed to do some things with a Japanese label, and my scheduling was really off. And I ended up, you know, having some time at the end of December, actually very little time, but because it was almost impossible to get all the musicians I have on the CD together at one time. So I basically did it on my own 3 days apart, maybe 2-3 weeks apart, you know. So that was a challenge in itself, trying to get the music to sound kind of cohesive and like we did it all in one day also, you know. But
right.
We pulled it off, you know, with the caliber of musicians that I had on the CD, you know.
Yeah. Oh man, that. Well, you know what? You're one of the best. So you're used to playing with that high caliber musician.
Definitely.
Now you've been able to freelance and maintain your membership role in a couple of bands, and
mm-hmm.
now you have your own project.
Mm-hmm.
You go out on the road to play your own music.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like you and. You're not going to be able to play with the other bands. You're playing with your bands. I mean, that's got to be a really intricate part of your career. It's like you're not playing with Charles and Diane and all these people. You're doing your thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to affect the music, because when Charles and Diane are playing, they're not going to have Reuben there playing.
Well,
unless you can balance all three.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, a lot of people, you know, the reality in the business is that it's hard to come out as leader and just say, I'm going to take the world and go all over the world and do this and that, you know. Especially when I have, you know, I am committed to a few different groups that basically want my time or really request my time 6 months in advance, you know,
right, of course.
To a year in advance. So, and luckily I have gain trust, or I should say a great relationship with these people, because I mean I love playing with them and I don't want to sever those ties. So you know, I say in next couple months, I made time for Reuben Rogers. I'm going to do, you know, a tour in Japan and do some more things in the islands, and I shall do some other things, you know, some CD release things in the States. And then I go straight back out with Diane or Charles. I don't even remember how the exact schedule is. But my aim and desire is to make as much music as I can with as many different people as I can before I die.
Well, you are, you know, absolutely doing that, man. And we,
you know, it's not all about me. I mean, the big thing about this CD is that I wanted to present myself and Reuben Rogers. This is me in 2006.
Right.
This is me in this point of my life, in this point of my career. I hope you enjoy it. It's all about the music. This might not sound like this in 2009. Hopefully I'll be evolving more and more, and you'll be like, wow, 2006 was a lot different than 2009.
Right.
I like both, you know. I mean, I'm sure a lot of artists are trying to do that, you know, and that's what keeps things fresh and it keeps the musicians inspired, you know.
Well, Reuben, I've been listening to you for a long time, and the evolution of Reuben Rogers is a beautiful thing, my friend.
All right, thank you very much, Lori. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. Well, I wanted to say, Rube, there are so many musicians these days that, you know, they go to school, they graduate, they put out a CD, and they start their careers from there.
Mm.
You've done it like the old schoolers, you know. There's no instant gratification. You play with the best musicians and all the bands and travel the world and saturated yourself in the music and the experience of performing before you did your thing. That seems like a natural evolution for you.
I mean, that was just, you know, in a sense, I was able to, pretty much from St. Thomas, I say within a year and a half, 2 years later, I was, you know, engulfed in the scene. I mean, I loved the music so much already. I'd studied up on the music. I was thrust into the Boston scene going to school and straight into the New York scene, you know, starting things out with, you know, the fine pianist Marcus Roberts. And then, you know, it was like a chain reaction from there, you know, to Whitten, to Roy Hargrove, to Jack McLean, to, you know, Nicholas Payton, to the host of other people I can't even remember off the top of my head. But once you made those connections and those people hear you with those people, then they like that flavor you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of like that. And I was fortunate that I was able to play with at least a few of the masters of this music, between, you know, Jackie McLean, Charles Lloyd, and, you know, and a few others. You know, I'm very fortunate I was able to catch that tail end where, you know, the older statesmen were using
young
guys who that they thought were, you know, representing themselves, how they wanted the group to be represented, at least, you know.
Sure.
But at the same time, there's my peers of my generation, or maybe the generation before me, with the Joshua Redmonds, the Javon Jacksons, the Benny Greens, the Carl Allens. I am inspired from these young masters also. You know,
right.
Because we all have each other's back. We all are listening to each other. I mean, I always say that, wow, I mean, you know, there's so many musicians that have so much to say, even in this generation. Of course, we learn from the masters, listening to the records, and a lot of them have passed, and we pay homage to them. But we have to keep this music rolling, keep this music moving on. And why not by just listening to our peers and seeing what's going on with that, too, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a never-ending, you know, evolution with this music, I hope. And, you know, we want to just keep it going, you know, from the masters to us and keep on passing it on, you know?
Well, you know what? It's like you're going to be the master of another day, you know?
Well, you know, we shall see. You know, I'm just trying to play some good music out here, and, you know, that's first, definitely.
Well, you know, one thing, I don't think you try to play good music, you do, man, because you're such a great player and you're such a great person. And, of course, you mend those two things together. That's why everybody wants you to play with them.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to be me somehow. That's why, you know, the things I am.
Yes, sir.
You know,
you're listening to Jazz and Blues Radio on KRML. I'm speaking with Reuben Rogers on Live with the Jazz Cat. You know, the album is filled with all kind of stars, and, you know, it's certainly destined to be a great success. Why don't you talk about some of the cats that are on the album and what they bring to the recording?
Well, you know, all of the guys on the album, I had some kind of close relationships, musical and personal, over the many years. I guess I could start with Joshua Redmond, you know, probably most known on the record. I played in his band for for 3.5 years or so with the quartet, and I thought, you know, we grew so much together as a quartet musically. It was a great time traveling the world with him. That was a few years back, and I'm now present in his trio, which is so it's a second kind of coming for being Joshua as my boss, I could say. But he brings his lyricism, his great energy to the music. I mean, you know, you just listen to the CD, you'll see why exactly I want him to play on it. Mr. Nicholas Payton, the same goes for him. I was in his band for about 4 years, and you know, he's a young trumpet master, no doubt. You know, he will be in all the history books. He's you know, a great person, a great musician, a great composer, everything. You know. And I was glad that he was able just to fly in for those few hours and fly back out to do my record, you know. Mr. Gregory Hutchison and Mr. Aaron Goldberg, those two I've played with. I've known Aaron Goldberg at least for, you know, the past 14 years. I know him the longest and played with him the longest, and he, you know, put his magic on it. Mr. Gregory Hutchison, I've been playing with him, you know, drummer Gregory Hutchison. He's been playing with me, with Diane, for the past 4 or 5 years, and before that, another 4 years with Josh. So, I mean, we have a long musical history. We, you know, he likes to call us the A-team because so many people like to use two of us in so many different contexts. You know, Mr. Mark Whitfield played some guitar, Mr. David Gilmore, and both of them had you know, unique, you know, voices that I wanted to hear on different tunes, and both of them did it, you know, exquisitely. It was great to hear exactly what I needed, you know. Mr. Khalil Kwame Bell played percussion. He's a groid cat, man. He just brings his African rhythms and whatever to the music. I needed that flavor, and he, you know, he came in and he, with very little tools, just came into the, with a couple drums and a couple toys and laid it down like he was a percussion orchestra for the most part, you know. Steel drums, Mr. Adam Cruz, he came and played a little steel drums on one of the cuts. Ron Blake co-produced the record. He's my dear friend and the man that's one of the men who are responsible for me playing this music. So I mean, hey, you know, there it is. You know, he played saxophone, he played flute, he played baritone saxophone, and he was there through all the mixing sessions, the mastering sessions. He was there, so this is kind of his baby, also, definitely. You know,
well, that's beautiful, man. The album is called The Things I Am, and Reuben, it's been so great talking to you, like it always is.
Right now,
look forward to seeing you. You're coming to Los Angeles for the Hollywood Bowl. You're playing, Josh is playing, Christian McBride will be there.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful evening at the Hollywood Bowl. What date is that?
That's the 9th. That's next week, August the 9th. Yeah, we'll be there. You know, it's a triple bill, I think. Joshua Redman Trio, Christian McBride Band, and Herbie Hancock. I'm not sure which group he'll be bringing, but it should be a nice show, definitely. I'm looking forward to definitely playing and listening.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Reuben. Gary, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much, Leroy and Reuben. A little bit of an extended edition segment of For Locals Only, the Live at the Jazz Cats segment. However, I think it's just important to and significant to touch bases with individuals such as Reuben Rogers. They are an integral part of the jazz scene. And again, thank you very much to the Jazz Cat, Leroy the Jazz Cat Downs, for bringing Reuben Rogers to the airwaves of KRML Jazz and Blues Radio.
Thanks a lot, Gary. Thanks, Leroy.
Thank you, Reuben. Thank you, Leroy. And if you would like more of the interviews exclusively on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, you can go to the Jazz Cat site, and that is really easy to get to. It's just thejazzcat.net. You just got to be sure it's .net. Thejazzcat.net on the World Wide Web will get you all the interviews exclusively here on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, such jazz legends as Ornette Coleman, Andy Bay, Diane Reeves, who just won the Grammy Academy Awards, Carmen Lundy. The list goes on and on and on. And you just go to thejazzcat.net. Let's go to the title track of the CD with Reuben Rogers. As you know, he has a cast of some of the top jazz players, the lineup of today's jazz elite, on this new CD. The title track is The Things I Am, and his roots are in the Virgin Islands. And it's, as he says on the liner notes, it's funny because he got teased a lot by listening to jazz while everyone else was plugged into reggae, calypso, and gospel. And when he was, as a kid, jazz is his music, and he can't get enough of the roots. Here's the title track, The Things I Am.